Okay, my name is Tasfaya Teso. I'm sorghum breeder at Kansas State University. For the last 7-8 years, one of the focuses of the Kansas State sorghum breeding program has been improvement of the crop for herbicide resistance, particularly grass weed killers. So in this presentation, I will highlight on some of the results of this endeavor. Weed control has been the greatest challenge to sorghum production in the United States. Basically, it is one of the major forces, actually, behind the current production trend that we see. If you look at this graph, for the last 2.5 decades, sorghum continued to lose acreage, about 30 to 40% of its acreage, and it looks like at least some portion of it is going to corn. And when we talk to farmers, at least in Kansas, why this is happening, and then they tell us that they are converting to corn, mainly not because of really profitability, but corn provides better weed control, especially grass weeds. So there is not really effective post-emergence grass weed control in sorghum. This actually agrees with the results of the national survey where weed infestation was identified as a priority constraint to sorghum production in the country. Therefore, development of resistance-based weed control option for sorghum has been a major focus of the sorghum breeding program at Kansas State. And then continued efforts to that end eventually led to an identification of genetic sources of resistance to two classes of herbicides. One is the azotelactase synthase inhibitor herbicides. The resistance source to this group of chemicals was found in a shatter cane population in the United States. And the other one was the acetyl-CoA carboxylase inhibitor herbicides, or what we call the ACC inhibitors. And resistance to this source was identified in another wild sorghum population called the Sudan grass. Let me talk about ALS a little bit. ALS is basically an enzyme that is associated with the synthesis of branched chain amino acids in plants. So the herbicide basically acts by inhibiting this ALS and thereby starving the plants of these essential amino acids. It is a target of 5 herbicides. Families, over 50 different herbicide products are on the market that belong to the ALS family. I don't say it is a targeted, but just an inadvertent encounter in 2003 in Kansas led to identification of a source that was resistant to this chemical. It happened in a cornfield that was sprayed with ALS herbicide. Then the seed from the resistant plant was collected and then evaluated further using different doses of the herbicide. This is the ALS resistant shatter cane that was identified, basically. The herbicide dose response study on that particular wild sorghum showed that it is, in fact, resistant to up to 4 or 5x use rate of the chemical. This is a tailwind. This name was given after the location where the source was, where that genotype was discovered. And this is TX623, a typical normal susceptible plant. So TX623 died at just one rate of the recommended dose, but the resistant tailwind survived until 4-5x use rate of that chemical. And this is to all ALS chemicals, basically. In this case, we have imazapyr and enoxaparin. Then this source was used in the resistance breeding, and the evaluation of the F1 showed that it is resistant to at least a half use rate that was labeled for corn, which means there is some degree of partial dominance for that. And further segregation analysis showed that the gene is basically controlled by a single partially dominant, I mean the trait is controlled by partially dominant gene, but it appears that two or more modifier genes are probably involved in conditioning genotypic response to herbicide treatment. Well, because this source is a wild, you know, the F1 pretty much looked the wild, so it took several back crosses to really recover the background of the adapted parent. This is just a herbicide-resistant and susceptible families after treated with ALS herbicide. After several back crosses, ALS-resistant materials that really resemble in all agronomic adaptation that of the normal sorghum were developed and then released to the industry. We put this ALS-resistant reliance in hybrid combination with the normal sorghums and evaluated them in multiple locations, and we see some of the hybrids actually performing quite poorer than the standard reliance that we have down here. But few of them have performance in the range of 90 to 110% of that of TX430 and the TX2737, basically. One of the greatest challenges that we face when we breed for ALS resistance is seedling chlorophyll loss and then reduced seedling vigor that appears to vary according to crop growth stage as well as according to background. And these are the same plots that were taken at different times. Here, as soon as the crops emerged, this row looked really pretty yellow, but later on, after herbicide was applied, it quickly grown out of that and it was completely green. This one that looked pretty green when it came up turned yellow at about 10 days after herbicide application. So there is this kind of confusion, but the good thing is there seems to be a difference in backgrounds that will allow us to select for it. But there are still other backgrounds that continue to remain yellow at different growth stage, and then some that continue to remain green, you know, both at early and advanced stage. So this is what we are trying to exploit to develop ALS resistance that doesn't show this kind of negative phenotype. We just last summer we looked at leaf chlorophyll content of different backgrounds of the ALS resistance nursery. And we see a lot of difference between different backgrounds. We took that before and after herbicide was sprayed. As you can see, there is a lot of difference between them. We have resistance gene donor here and that of the normal non-ALS materials. The non-ALS material has more leaf chlorophyll than all of the others, although some ALS families like background number 7 and number 6 are pretty much close to those standard lines. When the same reading was taken on those same families, say about 10 days after herbicide was applied, there is a change in some of them. Some genotypes did not show any significant change, but others kind of grown out of that leaf chlorophyll loss. Well, the second group of herbicide that we worked on was the ACCS herbicide resistance. This is a very potent grass weed killer, basically, and then it acts basically by inhibiting the ACCS enzyme that is involved in the biosynthesis of lipids and fatty acids. The genetic source of resistance to this particular group of herbicides was identified in a Sudan grass population outside the United States, basically, and unlike the ALS, it is not really cross-resistant to all of the ACC herbicide families. There are some ACC families, they call the dimes, to which this resistant source doesn't show any resistance. But to the FOP families, this particular source shows a considerable degree of resistance. The blue line is a resistant line, wild, I mean. The green one is the F1 between the susceptible and that of the resistant. So it looks like, although it's not completely dominant, it looks the gene conditioning resistance to ALS is somehow pretty dominant. Basically, because of that, application rate can be manipulated to kill, you know, the herbicide, the heterozygotes, if necessary, and or only save the heterozygotes and kill the susceptibles, basically. Again, after several back process, we were able to identify genotypes that have the kind of agronomic adaptation that we see in normal sorghums, and these materials are ready for release to the industry at the present. This is just a field view of the performance of the SCCS resistance hybrids. And another activity that we recently initiated is, can we put these two resistance traits into one background? And we noticed that it is really important to do this. One, because it will allow the delivery of the technologies, because both genes can be packaged into one genotype and then made available to users. And secondly, it will offer herbicide choice to the farmers. You know, they can use whichever herbicide they want or tank mix if they want from the two sources. And most importantly, it will allow herbicide rotation so that it will reduce the risk of resistance development, basically, on the weeds. We really did not have to do a lot of back crossing in this case. We picked advanced ALS resistant selections and SCCS resistant selections, made hybrids out of that. We didn't see the undesirable wild background that we had to struggle when we were breeding individually for ALS and SCC resistance. So the F2 population of ALS, this stack, ALS SCC stack resistance looks like this. It was a lot different from this one when we were dealing with ALS and SCC alone. So hopefully we expect to get this stack advanced lines into the hands of the people in the industry in maybe 2 to 3 seasons. Well, with this, I thank Kansas State University, the sorghum checkoff program, the Kansas Grain Sorghum Commission, and then the Center for Sorghum Improvement at Kansas State for supporting our activities. And then happy to answer if you have any questions.